Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Scott. And folks, we tried to open up a few minutes ago and evidently we had some technical difficulties. I wasn't sure exactly what was going on and what was causing the issue, but I see we had a guest on, but somehow we had to restart and take it back from scratch. So, my guest is still out there trying to call in. All right, my guest trying to call me now. Yes, ma'am. Sorry about that confusion.
Lisa E. Longino.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, when I called in, it said it wasn't no shows.
Oh, okay. Call in. I seen you up there. I couldn't get through to you.
Okay. All right. I'll go back.
All right. Thank you. So, yep, just confirmed with my guest. She should be calling in a second. But, again, I apologize for the inconvenience. But, folks, as always, you know, we try to, like, to keep things moving. And I quickly had to figure out where the dilemma came in at and how to fix that dilemma as fast as possible. So, with that being said, yes, we have our guest here on the air. But before I start my show, as always, you know, I got to go with my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and his college experience. So where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening.
Folks, hey, we're back. And had to step away and figure out some technical issues, but all well, fine and dandy. We're going to kick this thing off. And you know what, folks? I got somebody that you may want to ask some questions to today. I have someone here that has just been appointed as the athletic director of Cleveland City Public Schools. Yes, Cleveland. Cleveland as in Cleveland, Ohio, O-H-I-O, Cleveland City Public Schools. And I really and truly believe that the information she's going to share with us today about not only, you know, stepping into this new position, but things that even propelled her to get to this situation and to this position, I think it's going to be a game changer for many of you to have young athletes out there that's trying to enhance their lives. That's trying to step into the next phase of their life. So without further ado, what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring up our guest, Mrs. Lisa Longino. I believe I pronounced that name correctly there. And if I didn't, I'm quite sure she has no problem with correcting me. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And yes, I am the newly appointed athletic director for the East Cleveland City School District in East Cleveland, Ohio. It's a suburb outside of Cleveland, Ohio.
Gotcha. East Cleveland. Let's make sure we get that straight there, folks. That's East Cleveland, not the Cleveland, East Cleveland. But all well, fine and dandy, she's still the newly appointed athletic director. So tell us a little bit about your background in education.
Okay, well, first of all, I started off in Houston Independent School District over our health and kinesiology department and under the leadership of Dr. Rod Page, the first African-American Secretary of Education. And there I was nominated for the Health and Kinesiology Department of the Year from Texas Children's Hospital and from the city. I was also from Lee P. Brown and from Mayor Bob Lanier rated as the most effective program enhancement for health and kinesiology. And then I moved to the Cleveland, Ohio area, and I live in South Euclid Lyndhurst, Ohio. And I've been a college professor, and I saw the differences in different cities that have a lot of students that get free lunch and the programming there. So I'm now in the East Cleveland City School District, and I was their physical education specialist. And we just left that MBA math hoop, which was really nice, for my student Ryan Spates, who participated in the national championship. And I just saw so many things that athletics, whether they be on the floor or on a board game, could do for children. So I was assisting our previous athletic director as the faculty manager, and with me doing most of the work, because I had been an athletic director as well in Houston, where I coached basketball, football, soccer, cross country, they felt that I would be the best person for the job. So I'm coming in because I am rebuilding a premier athletic department, and we have all the top coaches. I'm coming in, I'm cleaning house, I'm making sure everybody has everything that they need. Our athletes are well-versed, and we just put on the biggest Cleveland Browns Legend Clinic with all of the legends coming back. And we had 250 students and 100 parents attended, and the Cleveland Brown Legends put on the best clinic. And I had my high school athletes give back in service, and my high school coaches participated and helped with the coaching and the Browns. They built our new stadium for us, and we are now going on August the 15th. My student athletes are going to go, and they're going to participate in a forum. So I'm getting them used to speaking out, understanding that athletics goes far beyond on the field. It goes in the world. So that's what we're doing now.
You know, you done unpacked so much there. I don't even know where to start right now. But we're gonna start somewhere. You kept throwing that word kinesiology out there, and you know, just give folks a little bit of what that is and how does that impact our student athletes.
Well, a lot of people call it PE, but it's not PE. We call it human performance and kinesiology because sports is a science, where we deal with the Krebs cycle, and we're teaching kids how to eat nutrition to increase the lactic acid in their bodies so that they wouldn't get cramps. We're also teaching them about the sociology of sports, how if you are mentally fit, you can be physically fit as well. We teach them about trajectory and how the body moves and how different planes. So everything that we do in athletics is a science. So that's what the kinesiology part, and that's what we're moving from. A long time ago, people used to take physical ed and looked at it, well, they just roll out a ball. But now we're teaching the science behind everything. So that way, when our students go to get recruited or they're in the college search process, then they understand how to speak and have that high IQ. They have to have a high IQ for football. They have to have a high IQ for basketball. They have to know about their vertical jumps. They have to know about their wingspans. They have to know about what kind of food to put in your body, the fuel that will keep you active. They got to know how to hydrate. They got to learn about not getting exertion heat stroke. So everything that we're teaching now in our human performance classes, which they were used to be called physical ed, that's what we're doing in East Cleveland City School District.
Wow. Wow. Folks, if you didn't take note of what she just said, that's what they're doing in the East Cleveland City School District. If you're not doing this in your school district, and the only thing your children is doing when they go to what they call PE is playing some basketball or going outside playing some football or playing a little kickball in the gym or just doing all this stuff that they could do out in the playground or on their own, and they're not learning anything, they're not getting this kinesiology side of things, there may be a small dilemma. So you talked about how, you know, we just so happened to connect at the NBA Math Hoops program, and you had a student that was there that ended up doing very well for himself. So
yes,
what got you involved? What got you involved in the Math Hoops program, and what's some of the things that you notice about the Math Hoops program that's beneficial to other students or that other students can learn from?
Well, the most important thing that I learned about the NBA Math Hoops, that it gives learning experiences with multiple extensions in math, science, social emotional learning.
I'm not going to let you off the leash. I can't let you off the hook. You said learning experience or multiple extensions. Please go into some detail on that, because we can't let you off the hook on that one.
Well, when my students participated, they learned about personal and social responsibility. They learned how to address their feelings. They learned about sportsmanship. They learned about focusing. They learned about how to relate to other students. And most importantly, they learned about expected value. They did probability. They learned about multiplication, division, subtraction, and division. But the most important thing they learned was that personal and social responsibility, which is very important in today's society, because you can be a talented athlete, but if you don't have that self-control, that can lead you down the wrong path. And so that's one of the best things that I learned, that each lesson in that NBA Math Hoop, it reflected best practices in instruction. It provided our students with the means to enhance their effectiveness. It was focused on the students. They were fully engaged. They were able to adjust their learning. They were able to achieve that desired result, that outcome of learning their multiplication facts, their division facts, their subtraction, their addition. And they were learned to also complete the courses in the math activities in their classroom. Learning statistics in third, fourth, and fifth grade was very easy. Everyone at first was like, wow, why are you teaching kids statistics? My students learned how to do statistics. They learned about percentages. They were able to take those NBA math cards, look at the back of them, and say, greater than, less than. They were able to predict Stephen Curry's three-point percentages or his two-point percentages with expected value. So it was the NBA Math Hoop, it influenced my students' learning. It enhanced their learning. And I will be doing it throughout my whole school. And I'm going to bring it down to the middle school as well, because they're getting math computational skills, and they're learning to do critical thinking. So now they're going to be engaged in their learning. We know all of our kids have these skills to participate successfully in these activities. But it's just like Ronald Emmons said, we can, whenever we choose, successfully teach all children whose education is of importance to us. So I know that my students in the East Cleveland City School District, they are interested, they have the confidence, but I just need to make sure they stay on, put that effort into that task. And so that's why I believe that the NBA Math Hoop is successful. And they're going to continue this process because it's a board game as well. So they can take it home, they can do it with their family, and it's better than taking a piece of paper and saying, let's work on math, let's work on science, let's work on problems. They have a board game that they can use. And then after they do the board game, they can go outside and practice it in real life. With how many 3 points? Like if you're at the 3-point line and you shoot 8 free throws, what's 8 times 3? So they're getting the whole, it's just designed to have the potential to engage every student in every school district around the country. Still here? Can you hear me?
Okay, okay. I'm sorry. I messed around, muted myself.
You know what? I get excited about that game because to see where my third graders, I took my third graders, and they were able to compete against when we got to that NBA math hoop to see 7th, 8th, and 9th graders there. So that was powerful.
Yes.
And I don't think people realize that. It was powerful. Sometimes we don't recognize the value of NBA math hoops or the things that go along with it. But NBA math hoop encompasses that physical literacy, and it provides an enjoyment for helpful activities for a lifetime. And so that's the reason why I love it. I love that.
So you had third grade students involved. What grade? Third, fourth, fifth?
Yes, third, fourth, and fifth graders.
Okay. This is prior to your new appointment. You was working with the third, fourth, and fifth graders, and now you're taking up to the middle school. Awesome.
I'm taking it to the middle and the high school. We are going to incorporate this to the middle and the high school as well.
Okay.
There are things that we could do with this. We could teach our students statistics with this, and it'll be an enjoyable statistics. We could teach them about the probability. Like I said, that expected value that they learn in college, I was teaching them in the third grade. So we could get them to do this now in middle school and high school, and we could have our kids on a playing field that others would be like, wow, this is elementary, middle, and high school. And then we can increase their ACT and SAT scores where they feel confident. Because the reason why our students sometimes don't perform well on tests is because they have test anxiety. And sometimes they lack that confidence. Well, NBA math hoops, it builds the confidence up.
And folks, you know that she continued to place emphasis on the game, NBA math hoops. If you're not familiar with that game, then you need to reach out to us so we can get you some more information on it, because that game in itself adds value to the lives of our children as students, not just as athletes, but as students. You know, as our guest talked about today, how it encompasses so many different aspects of their education. It talks about science. It deals with the probability. It talks about social. It helps you understand social emotional learning, and all those things that come along with this program. Again, reach out to us, folks. We can get you some additional information on it. And if you are in a school district that is in need of it, I'm be willing to bet we probably could put you in touch with the right person to help you move forward to bring this program to your particular school district. Folks, if you want to reach us, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Well, I wanted to ask you this question. You talked about some things, and I think this was really drew our conversation when we was at the NBA Math Hoops Championship. You started talking about some things that you incorporated additional to just playing the game that opened your students' eyes on so many various other aspects of the game. I think you talked about you kept check kept track of the heart rate. You did some monitoring of that type stuff. You talked about the dynamics of the shape of the dice. There's a few other things that you incorporate. Tell me, why would you take it to that level, and what value did that add to the life of that student?
Well, and every time you do a physical activity and in your human performance, your physical ed class, you want to always do a cognitive application. That means you want to make sure that mind part is the concept is there. So what I did was have the students look at the shape of the dice. We do geometry. That's when we start introducing a lot of geometry in third, fourth, and fifth grade, which gives them their foundation. So I wanted to see, if it was a square, why would you have a square? Why would you have a hexagon? Why would you have a diagonal? You want to make sure they understand that the shapes help with the rolling of the dice, because if we had the square, it wouldn't do as well, but we had a six figure so that you could see all of the parts. So they got to see that. Then we also talked about when children are doing different activities, you want to see how their heart rate. So we know the heart rate is very important. It tells us everything about our students. It tells us if they're enjoying the game. It tells us if they have an anxiety. So that way I was able to monitor my students with their heart rate. We then were able to, if someone got overexcited, we do a mindfulness activity. So basically I wanted to create an environment for the learning to occur. So I always go back to, it's got to be positive. It's got to be supportive environment for them to learn. We have to learn to adapt it. We got to modify it, because we got to remember, we have different children with different learning styles. Some learn by seeing, some learn by hearing, some learn by doing it, and others just learn by just hearing and reading it. So you have to have them see everything. So every modality of learning was there. And then we have students that are, I have autistic children in my classroom. I have children that have behavior issues. I have children who have low attention. So I was able to do all of those, but I was able to adapt and modify, which is different in instruction, so I can keep that positive and supportive environment for learning. We have to always remember that mastery-oriented instructional climate, it emphasizes the skills that they will achieve. So that's the reason why we always want to make sure that we have a climate that emphasizes that skill. Because, I mean, they are our clients, but I want to make sure that they have mastery climate. And that reflects if you're an effective teacher. So I tell everybody, yes. You know what? You'll know if you have a good teacher because they're progressive. You got to watch how we do sequential learning tasks. We got to make sure, look at our lesson plans. I tell all my parents, I post my lesson plans right outside my door. So when a parent comes in, she sees what I'm teaching. She sees my lesson objectives. She sees everything that I'm doing. And it's supportive. If there's a question that she needs me to answer, I'll answer it. But she can see those lesson plans, and she can see that I'm maximizing practice opportunities every time as I practice. I ask them at the end, too. We also do a little group, and they call it restorative-like circles. But I ask, you know, we were talking about sportsmanship. And so, you know, an incident occurred on a basketball court on an NBA game. And so I asked my student, tell me, was that reflective of sportsmanship? And they'll say, no. And I said, well, tell me the reasons why. And now you're at that highest level of Bloom's taxonomy, that highest level. You're making them evaluate what they saw on the screen. Now tell me in your own words what you saw, and then what part of sportsmanship. So they'll break it down to me, what sportsmanship is, what you're supposed to do. And then I ask them, well, how could you have, or how could that player have reacted differently? And then they'd say, and I said, well, isn't that a good practice for us too? So now you see how they're even thinking. They're seeing how to self-regulate their own selves. And that's what we want in today's society, because of so much social media and so everything is so quick in a microwave society. We need to teach our children, all children, that we got to learn to self-regulate. And we have to do 10 seconds to make a decision. It could either make us or it could break us. But we always have to make those decisions, and they have to be positive.
That is so true. So true. It's interesting that you said that. And, you know, the whole thing that you just laid out. I just was had a conversation with a young man that I probably known him since he was about 4 or 5 years old, when he used to come to the gym with his older brother, who I also know he grew up the same time as my youngest son. But anyway, we had this conversation, and I said, well, what are you going to do next year? You know, he talked about some good things, and he highlighted some points that I said, okay, you can take that and you can do something with that. But one thing that I left him with at the end of that conversation, I said, here, I need you to really think about this. I need you to really ponder this thought. I said, anytime you're stepping into a classroom, you're sitting into a classroom, you're in your senior year, and you probably should have taken this mindset on probably when you first started school. You always want to learn more than the teacher is teaching. You always want to learn more than the teacher is teaching. The teacher is giving you the basics of whatever you're talking, whatever subject it is. She's giving you that basic information, or he's giving you that basic information. But through your critical thinking, your analysis, your driven mindset, you want to take that to another level. And I gave him this example. I said, you look at a basketball player that has made it to college level, made it to professional level, whatever. All right? That player had a middle school coach probably had a high school coach, had a coach in college. Now that player is playing at the professional level. Do you think that what that coach taught, if that player only stayed with what that high school coach taught him or her, would they currently be playing at the professional level? I said, that player had to understand, I'm learning this from this coach, but I need to learn even more. And each time they got to the next level, they learned even more. You know, so all that plays a huge part. And I think about that when I think about the NBA math hoops. Not just looking at the game and rolling the dice and taking the shot, but just some of the things that you shared with us this afternoon as far as learning even more. Understanding the geometry that's mixed into the game. Understanding, you know, just the dynamics of your body as you react to various things. You know, you just brought up a great point when you talked about sportsmanship and how to understand that piece. You know, that's all part of their thinking process. That's all part of that, what we, you know, what you call critical thinking and what we call critical thinking. But athletes and students, and I want to switch subjects real quick, and I want to take it to now let's focus on parents. How do parents start to develop these things at that elementary school level, moving into that middle school level? What's some of the things that you share with parents to help them move forward? And I'm going to say that, and I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to give you some time to think about it, because we're going to step away for a hot second, let you wet your whistle. Let me make some quick adjustments. And then when we come back, I want you to start breaking that down for us and give us some insight on some of the things that you have shared with parents over the years to help their child reach their own personal level of success. Folks, we got on here today, man, a super, super, super educator that just moved into a new position as an athletic director for the East Cleveland City School District, Mrs. Lisa Longino, correct? Did I get that last name correct, Lisa?
That's correct.
Okay. And she's going to break some things down for us when we come back on the backside and just take a little short break. But for right now, we're going to step away. If you want to join in our conversation, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. We're going to step away for a hot second, but when we come back, hey, be ready to jump in on this conversation because I know you have some questions for our guest. And I'm quite sure that our guest is going to have an answer for you. So we'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus to...
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call. Hope.
How you doing, Mr. Scott? This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott, this is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael, George Johnson again with the NBA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA.
Hey, Mike, this is John Belon, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at
home. Mr. Scott, Dave Lake, Quarren. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry about audio. I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
Mr. Scott.
Guys, athletes, scholarship mentors, help you and elevate parents, coaching parents, know the game.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
You are listening.
Hey, folks, we're back, and we've had this, man, the newly appointed athletic director of East Cleveland School District, Miss Lisa Longino, on with us this afternoon. And Lisa has shared some nuggets. If you haven't had a chance to take no notes, maybe you want to sharpen up that pencil now and come on back and get back into this conversation. You can always reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Lisa, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, before the break, we stepped away for a hot second, and we want to come back and talk about some things that parents can do. Share some insight, because you've been in the game for a good minute. So I know you have some great tools some great recommendations, some great guidance for parents as they move forward and get their children ready to go back to school. Help us out with that.
Yes, the most important thing that we need to teach our children, because I have sons that participated in battle country and my daughters in volleyball, is that mental toughness is twofold. We got to teach them how to deal with, cope, and handle the adversities and setbacks that happen whenever they participate in sports. Then we got to teach them how to do well and perform well under pressure. And understand that, guess what? You got to have that confidence. You got to have that encouragement from our parents. We got to motivate our parents, our students as well. We need to let them know that they're going to make mistakes, but it's okay. It's okay. But always remember, just when you go home, you just stay focused. And remember, never compare your children to others. Never criticize them for any performance less than their best. And always drill them on the car ride home, because you can build up expectations and pressures if you start drilling them like, did you handle the ball right? Did you do this right? Focus just on the future and let them know that sometimes you're not going to win every game. Sometimes you're not going to be able to perform your best. You might have been sick. You might have had the flu. But as long as you gave us your best, that's all that counts. And that's what I tell my kids. As long as you give us your best.
You know, it's very, very interesting that you said that. And I was wondering if you was reading straight out of my book. I put together a book.
No, I was going to ask you for a copy of your book.
Yes, ma'am. No. I'll make sure we get a copy out to you. That's no problem. We can make that happen. But, you know, we put that out there. You don't know what you don't know, the sports parents guy. But, you know, some of those very same things that you just highlighted are things that we talk about in our book. And it's all for a reason, folks. You know, I tell my son to this day, he's playing, you know, at the professional level, and I tell him anytime I see him coming out of the tunnel, give a step on the court, or if they're out there warming up and I just walked into the arena, you know, I'll just yell it out. And not necessarily anybody knowing who I'm talking to, I'll just yell out, hey, have fun. He knows it. He hears the voice. He knows that voice. He's heard that voice long enough to know that just came from me. He don't even have to look up. He'll probably give a head nod or throw one hand up just to acknowledge, hey, that was me, still staying focused on what he needs to do. But I've been telling him that ever since he started playing at the recreational level. Go out there and have fun. You know, don't put that undue stress and pressure on you. And I was one of those parents that initially got caught up in wanting to talk about the game as soon as we got in the car. And then I realized, no, this is not the time for it. Truly not the time for it. If he wanted to bring it up, if he started the conversation, he initiated the conversation, then okay, we could take it in that direction. If not, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about what we're going to stop and get us a quick bite to eat on our way home, especially if we had a nice little drive ahead of us. So we want to figure out if we're going to Dairy Queen or, you know, we're going to go somewhere and get us some milkshakes, or we're going to get some ice cream floats or banana split sundae or something. We're just going to have some fun with it on the way home. If the conversation comes up, it comes up. So as you step into this new position and I know that you're well prepared for it, because you seem like you're on top of things, or you're on top of the game. As you step into this new position, and you just shared with us some thoughts that that parents should consider when working with their kids or working with the system overall, how do you consider guiding your new, well, your athletic directors in the various schools, or your athletic staff, should I say, in the various schools, as far as that interaction with parents? And what's some of the things that parents can do to help highlight or help put more emphasis on being successful and helping their child move forward?
Well,
I know that was kind of long and drawn out, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was fine. That was fine. Like you said, the most important thing is that all parents need to understand that athletic ability does not supersede academics. You could be a star athlete, but if you don't have the GPA or the test scores, there's nothing that a coach can do to guarantee your acceptance to that school. Because the first thing a coach wanted to ask you, the coach at the college and the coach at the high school, the first thing he's going to ask is, can he stay eligible?
That's right.
Because if you can't stay eligible, I cannot have you on my team. So make sure that you're always performing well in your classes and make sure that you improve your chances for admission. Because not everybody starts as a getting a scholarship. You can also go and be a walk-on. Now, this is what we found out. When most of our children go into, they want to go to a D1 school. I want to go to a D2 school. Oh, well, I got to get a scholarship. But there are a lot of people who just come in, do a walk-on, and they perform well. If anybody knows anything, Michael Strahan started at my school. I helped with his strength and conditioning. He was over at Texas Southern University. He walked on. And look at him now. Super Bowl, on the Good Morning Show. He's done it all. We have other kids that Carl Lewis, he had students that ran track. They went on and they went pro, making $100,000 just running track and winning in the World Games. So they started off and they kept on practicing. They kept on practicing. They might have lost a couple of races at first, but now look at them. Look at Sha'Carri Richardson. A lot of people don't understand. Sha'Carri came from Dallas, South Oak Cliff in Texas. She was a superstar when she was running in junior high and high school. She went one year, they saw her, and she decided she was going to go to LSU. When she got to LSU, you got to remember, you got to watch their handlers around your children, too, because you'll get things where people will talk to them, and Nike will come, Saucony will come, Adidas will come, and so they'll want to go, and they'll want to go pro. But if she would have had her, she needed to go for funds for her grandmother. So a lot of our athletes try to go pro to get money in track and field. Well, if she had had the right people around her, she would have went and qualified for the Olympics. It's a no-brainer.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up that particular point, and you just said a word that I've been advocating against for the longest since I started the formation of the Parents Culture Parents Network. You know, and I say that because, you know, I hear that term, the handlers. You know, my child, and you probably feel the same way, my child is not a piece of property. My child is not on an auction block, is not a piece of a cattle or anything of that nature where he or she needs a handler. Only handler that my child will ever need will be me. And if it's not me, then, you know, he should be savvy enough to handle his own affairs. So, you know, I try to stay away from that whole term of having, well, folks getting used to or thinking about that word handler, because, oh man, that's just a sore spot with me for sure. But that's altogether different with that. That's not what we're talking about today, but I truly understand your point when you talk about those athletes and who they had in their corners. That's why I'm so much on advocating and educating parents in this space so that they can assist their children and not exploit them and all this other foolishness and, you know, go overboard with it. But they are educated to the point where they can give some sound advice or understand if your child does have an individual that he or she is working with, understand if something starts to go left, they can see it because of the education and the mentorship and the guidance that we provide here at the Parents Coach Parents Network. You was about to say something. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. I was looking at how a lot of with this likeness a lot of kids, they're having people come around them and telling them, you could do this, you could do this, and they're not looking at the repercussions of what happens when you like this. And they're starting to try to do it in high school. And so our parents are like, ooh, my child could get this. And we got to remember, everybody don't have that socioeconomic background like everybody else. So some of us are at the high chain, some of us at the bottom. So when we have a tendency to live sports through our children, and then or look at our child as a way to get out. And so we got to educate our parents, especially our minority parents, that sometimes look at what the cause and effect. You want your child to be able to experience going to college. You want your child to experience having a positive relationship with their coach.
Yes.
Because sometimes the coach can really help them. But if sometimes I have a student, his parent will not, she's like, she's going to take control over everything. But then she met some outside people. She stopped doing the control, gave it to them. And now their child, no one really wants to be bothered with that child anymore due to the people that were around them. And sometimes our parents don't realize that we could be our kids' worst enemy. Because if a college scout comes and the parent is not well-versed or begins to start asking, what can I get, what can we get, that's a turnoff for a lot of college coaches, because we got a whole bunch of blue-chip athletes. I tell everybody this. When you go on scholarship, because I was a scholarship athlete from Prairie View A&M University under Miss Barbara Jacket, when you go, everybody's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're back competing for your spot. And if you
don't
perform, my favorite words from Miss Barbara Jackets, you'll smell diesel fuel. And you'll smell the diesel fuel. You will not be on that bus. And every practice, you practice it like it's your last practice. Every practice is a tryout. And
that
that's the way
true. We
want. Every practice. You might not... Always remember somebody waiting in the wing to take your spot. There are only so many spots on a team, so you got to always come with your A game. And A game means A game in the classroom and A game on the field.
Let
them be a student athlete.
Exactly, exactly. But that is so true. That is so true. And, you know, I place, and I'll tell you why here in a second, but I place for those that have a promising future and you can see it and they have that gift or that talent and they're on their way to play at the college level, I have to be very real with parents and let parents know you've just stepped into a business. It is no longer about, your child and all these other little things that they were involved in when they were in high school. This is a business. And coaches will discard your children as fast as they blink an eye if that child is not on the trajectory to helping them get a W over in that left-hand column. You know, if that child is not showing any promising future and showing a higher ceiling and capability to do this, that, or the other, well, that scholarship may be just a one-year deal, and you may be on your way back home or looking for a new location before you know it. You was about to say something?
Yeah, that a lot of parents think that the colleges have a whole bunch of scholarship money. They don't. They have limits on the number of scholarships that they can give. They have to look at certain sports. Sometimes a scholarship only covers a portion of their attendance, the cost to attend. And you got to be real serious when you go into looking at colleges. You need to understand that you don't have it as your main motivation. I'm going to get a scholarship so I can go to college. Be strategic about the colleges and the teams that you target. If I know I'm a good student and I can go to a D3 school because it's academics, We have a lot of players that come from D3 schools in the NFL. So they need to look at that. Because the schools, I always tell people this, if you're a good athlete and you got that talent, you'll get invited to the football combines. You'll get invited to the basketball combines. You'll get invited to the volleyball combines. You'll even make it to the competition for NC2A D1 to participate in a track meet. You can even go and do the Olympic team just off of your time and get invited to the trials. So you got to be strategic when you start looking at sports as your way to get out. But you got to remember, too, you got to sacrifice. It's going to be times that you can't go to the prom. It's going to be times that you can't hang out with your friends. It's going to be time that you got to put so many hours into that book to pass that test so you can compete. So you got to figure it out. Do you want to go hang out with your friends today? Or do you want to practice and get your lesson?
Well, you said one that I may have scratched my head on it. You said maybe times when you can't go to the prom. Well, you know, a lot of these kids have done everything they needed to do, you know, to get to that final stage in their education process at the high school level. You know, and then to not be able to attend an event that they probably was looking forward to, or they was, hey, whatever that sporting event was, it's still going to be there. Trust and believe, or that coach will still be there. Or if not, another coach will still be there, you know? So, you know, sometimes it all depends on how that whole sacrifice thing goes, but
yeah,
I take it.
My
that,
son
you know,
had to miss his prom because the state track meet was the same time as the prom. So
wow.
He made a decision. And he's like,
did he have
this
to
is what
miss
I
it,
love.
Or he chose to miss it.
He chose to miss it. He said, this is what I want to do. This is what I love to do. And so I'm going to miss it.
Okay.
Because I'll have plenty of times. He went to the homecoming day. He did a lot of stuff. But he said, you know what? I got a team, too. If I don't go, I'm going to let my team down.
Yeah, and that's the funny part about it. Why would a school district or state district or state organization structure something like that around the time period where you have these key events? You know, you got a whole school year to figure out when you're going to schedule a state meet. Why would you schedule that when you know certain schools are having their prom? Interesting.
We had kids who had graduation too at this meet in Ohio, and they came to the track meet, and it was their graduation day.
Wow!
So it was like that's what, and it is different because we have so many schools, and it, when the times are set, they plan these way in advance, and so that's what you have to sometimes do. And it's nothing wrong with it because the kids get to go to the prom their 9th grade year, 10th grade year, 11th grade year, 12th grade year. And I understand people are like, well, that's their prom. But when you're looking at this is your chance to better your score. And we had a girl, Asia, she ran up with the Olympics. She gave up her time and look where she got.
Awesome.
And that was good. She was in. Yes, so it's an individual. When you're track, you're individual.
Yes.
So you have
to
figure. So you look at it, what will benefit you? And if that's what you're going to do in college, when you get to college, you don't have time for a lot of stuff. You're going to miss a lot of stuff there. But I always tell parents, too, if you keep your child in the right mindset, then they'll understand. Yes, they might miss this event, but look at the long-term effects of them doing this. And then also the coaches look at you sacrifice so that you could do this. That's somebody I like on my team, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't go to my prom. I didn't, and that's what the coach told Barbara Jackson said. That was one of the deciding factors is that when she saw that I missed my prom, that was like, that sealed the deal, because she knew that I was hungry. I wanted this, and I would do whatever it took to get it. That was honest.
Yeah, fully understood. But, you know, we would all hope that by that time came around, they would already have signed and, you know, that they're able to finish out on a high note. So that's part of our education process that we do at the Parents Coach Parents Network. You know, but we down for the last 2 minutes of the show. Give us some information on how people can keep track of the great things that you're doing and what you have coming up next.
Okay, well, you can go to the East Cleveland City School District's website. We're under the leadership of Dr. Henry Pettigrew II. He is an awesome CEO and our superintendent, and our athletics is also ran by Mr. Larry Ellis. He is also the principal of Shaw High School, and we have a wonderful team of security. We have the best security in the Northeast Ohio, and that's under Mr. Winston. He is one of our best persons. I mean, we have the best security at our games. The Browns have just built a beautiful stadium for us, and you can go to our website, and it's just type in East Cleveland City School District, and you'll see our website. We have our athletics listed there. We list all of our pre-season meetings. We list all of the things. We use final forms, which I would just tell everybody, final forms is good. Our parents are excited, and we're going to be doing a lot of positive things. And my football coach, I like to give him a shout-out. That is Mr. Reggie Lowe Smith. He is an alumni of Shaw High School, and he is also with all district LEL for us, and he has been a great help with me during this transition. He has really, I mean, he has stepped up, got all his coaches certified. He has helped me bring those children to this Browns Legend Clinic, and it's good. And he told me, Miss Longino, I believe in that Title IX. So I told him it's a great day for Title IX. So I am really excited, and I can't wait till the season begins, because we are focused on making the East Cleveland City School District a premier athletics department.
All right, all right. Well, hey, folks, we've been talking with Ms. Lisa Longino, the newly appointed athletic director of the East Cleveland School District. Lisa, we thank you for joining us today here on the Parents Coach Parents Network, and know that you are welcome back anytime when you got some updates you want to share or you got some new things that you put into place. We want to hear about them here on the Parents Coach Parents Network, because it may help that next generation our parents understand how they can be the best possible advocates for their child. We thank you this afternoon.
Thank you so much. And remember, the NBA Math Hoop, the national championship, will be in Cleveland, Ohio next year for 2023.
Yes, ma'am. For sure. For sure. If the Lord's willing, I will definitely be there. All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you. Bye.
All right, folks, hey, we've had a great time with our guest today, and our guest has shared some valuable nuggets, and hopefully you had got a chance to get something out of it. If not, hey, go back and listen to the replay. Go back and check out some conversation with some of the other parents, or, hey, just go back and just share this information. So it's been fun. It's been real fun. M.H. Scott, host of the Parents Coach of Parents Network. We'll see you again next Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, sharp. Hey, I'm going to let my man, Phil the Groove, take us out.